One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Now you talk about depravity. You talk about sin and trouble. Three juveniles arrested for attempted rape. You say, how old was the dear lady? She was 80-some-odd years old. Here's her letter right here. This is her letter right here. Dear Brother Roloff, last Sunday I heard you, 1 hour broadcast. And she goes on to say a lot of wonderful thing. She said, being a widow over 12 years now, and I'm now in my 83rd year. Life has not been a bed of roses. Beginning in the summer when some surgery began. And then she begins to tell the story. The clipping, which I'm enclosing, taken from an area newspaper published, speaks for itself. I have corrected the report to conform more closely to facts which I know too well, as I was the victim in the case. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, God protected me from losing my life and enabled me to pray out loud and warning them of what would befall them. And if they did not repent and get right with the Lord, thus I was kept from becoming hysterical, screaming, or speechless. God was never, never so close. 82 years old and three mean, sorry, filthy-minded, television-minded, Hollywood-minded boys took an old lady and carried her, and she just prayed and preached to them all the way. Said, you boys better know now. You're going to give an account to God. He's going to get you. And she preached to them, and did you know, it was getting dark, and a policeman, patrol car, some came, and I think it was in her own pasture where she was feeding some cows maybe later, getting a little dark. And they saw the lights, some strange lights. And they come a rolling up there, and those three hoodlums bailed out. But they're in jail now. Amen. I tell you, there's something wrong with young people. I can remember when we were that age, we'd have been glad to feed her cattle for her and count it a real privilege. We'd have thought, man, isn't that sweet? I got to feed grandmother's cows. Instead, they were trying to take her off somewhere. Listen, folks, we better get rid of that box called television. Amen. That has corrupted the minds of our young people. And people look at me with such a pious look and say, Brother Roloff, don't you let these girls watch television. Why should they? They watched it before they came here. Amen. Their little minds are already warped and filthy and ungodly. And somebody said, well, it looks to me like that you're just brainwashing. I plead guilty, Your Honor. If I find somebody with a dirty dress, I ought to wash it or have somebody to wash. If I find somebody with dirty socks, I ought to be washed. Then if we find somebody with a dirty mind, we ought to brainwash them. Amen. Use the Word of God, get them straightened out. Amen. That's the reason they sing like they do. That's the reason they smile. Four little old girls came out to the airport today a while ago over here and this morning, and I tell you what, I was amazed. They all knew. They hadn't been here very long. One of them was the fourth sister in the same family that came. All of them very pretty girls. Every one of them. And I just thought, here they are. Had on a white blouse, beautiful blue skirt, had on hose, shoes. I mean, they looked like $1 million, all of them. I mean, anybody in the world would be proud to have them as a daughter. And yet when they come in, little old slouchy-looking, cursing, profane, mean, devilish girls, hating everything and everybody, Jesus is the answer. He's the only one that make a lady out of any of you. Got out there and those boys, courteous, gentlemen, got up and testified. Folks, that's the answer. I mean, everybody sin. I'm not condemning you because you've sinned. And I will forget that girl who picked up on the highway. It's been, it's been 43 or 44 years ago. And this was before anybody ever did this. I mean, if a girl ever stepped aside or ran off or stayed away at night, I mean, that was just, that's terrible. I mean, I can't imagine it. And I picked her up along the highway, coming out of Athens, going to Trinidad. I was pastor there, the First Baptist Church. And I began to talk with her. I got to the road, and she was going to get out and walk up maybe, I don't know, 10 or 15 miles to home. And she said goodbye and said, this is the last time anybody's going to ever see me. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, what do you mean? Boy, that I'd never talked to anybody in my life that was about to commit suicide. I mean, they just didn't do it back in those days. Nobody knew how. Nobody had enough courage. You get to get pretty depraved to kill yourself. You know it? I mean, you got to get pretty mad at yourself. Say, man, you ain't worth living. Boom, you know. And so I said, get back in his car. Get back. She said, no, I'm going to walk. I said, no, you're not going to walk either. Now, brother, you talk about turning on steam. I mean, spiritual steam. Listen, man, I came on up to normal. I mean, I said, listen, you're not fit to live, you told me. And if you're not fit to live, you're not fit to die. And I said, I want to talk to you. She said, I can never face my mother and dad. I know they've been disturbed, and all night last night I was gone. My mother and daddy, I don't imagine they slept a wink last night. They're good country people, and I don't ever want to see them again. I'm ashamed of my running away just for one night. One night, said, I just don't want to face my mother and daddy. I said, listen. And I pulled over to the side of the road under a shade tree, and I broke the bread of life. And in a little while, she said, you know, he'd save me, wouldn't he? I said, he sure would. I said, you're the very kind he came for. He specializes on people just like you. And she just had a hard time believing because she was convicted of her sin. Even before I picked her up, she came home in shame and disgrace, and she didn't like it. And she was sorry about it. She gave her heart to Christ. And I said, now I'll drive you on home. And on the way home, she made this statement, a colossal statement. She said, you know, Brother Olaf, it's human to err, but it's stupid to continue. Isn't that a good statement? She said, it's just so natural to do wrong, but isn't it silly and sinful to keep on? You see, the worst thing is not to sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The worst thing is to get adjusted and adapted to it and say, I'm not going to live any other way than in sin. And I remind you before this series of messages every time, the wages of sin is death. You work for the devil, you draw wages. But the Bible says, and leads me to believe, it pays to serve ye. You have to pay the devil, and then he gives you wages, and God pays you in blessings to serve him. What a wonderful thing it is to be saved and to be kept and to be blessed. I got home, I drove up in the yard. Boy, here, the mother was walking the front porch. The daddy came back around the side of the house and had a hole over his shoulder. Boy, he walked up to that car. I said, I brought a new daughter home. He looked at her. He said, well, she needs something. Boy, ooh, he's mad. I mean, I tried to let him know that, you know, I wasn't connected. I mean, that hole looked like a shotgun almost. And I said, listen, I just picked her up along the road and I witnessed her. She gave her heart to Jesus and she wants to come home and apologize to mother and daddy, and she did. You say, what happened, Brother Olaf? Months after that, I was under an open sky, really. Open sky. I mean, lanterns hanging on the limbs. Now, we'll forget the June bug that came along. I got one of those great big things. I mean, half big as you fit. And of course, you know, I was preaching as loud and long. I took a big breath, and there he went. There he went. Actually, I want you to know. Listen, he got way down, and I said, and that's it. I mean, I run out of talk. I couldn't get it. And so I tried to swallow him. He'd go down a little piece, you know, and this is the truth. And so I'd start preaching. I said, and he started crawling back up. Really, I mean, he had legs. He could climb a wall or a throat or anything. He'd come, and finally I said, boy, they came running with water, and I washed him down the drain. I really took him on down. But you know what? When the message was through that night, and somebody came up to me, looked sort of like a Rebecca girl. She came up, and she said to me, do you remember me? And I said, no, I sure don't remember you. She said, I'm the girl that you picked up on the road from Athens on Highway 31 and said, I gave my heart to Jesus sitting under that tree. You remember that? I said, yeah, I remember that. And she said, I tell you, he's done exactly what you said he'd do. And said, I'm a new daughter, and mother and dad are so happy that my life has changed. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Sin had done its work, and Jesus came along to do his. Let's go a little further. What is sin? Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Anything that's not of faith is sin. You know the big sin of the churches today, and pastors and everybody else, is living by sight instead of by faith. Anything that's not of faith is sin. Do you carry on your life by faith? Do you have to see? Somebody said, well, show me. And if I can see, seeing is believing. Not spiritually, it's not. Believing is seeing. If thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God. All of this work. You know why the world hates this work? They can't understand it. And if they can't explain it, they just explode it. If they can't do it, they'll destroy it. That's what the people said to Jesus. They came over there and said, hey, this man doeth miracles. What do we? He's hurting our sight business. He's hurting our religion. Why, this man comes over here and he's healing people and saving people and he's taking care of crazy people and putting clothes on them and making new people out of them. What are we doing? Nothing. That's why the world hates whatever Jesus does. They can't duplicate it. And if they can't duplicate it, they'll say, let's destroy it. Let's get rid of it. Now then, Christ is the only answer. You know what the problem was? It wasn't a mind problem. It was a sin problem and a heart problem. The Bible said, and I'll come to that before the message is over, it's a matter of the heart. Sin makes its attack on the heart. I believe I'll give you that right now. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 19. Turn with me, please. Mark all these verses. 15. Verse 19. Where does it come from, Brother Olaf? Well, I'll read it to you. Out of the heart. Out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, that's lying, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. They were raising Cain about somebody eating before he washed his hands. Bunch of religious nuts and hypocrites came up and said, hey, why don't they go wash their hands? That's about as much about sin as they knew. And Jesus read him the riot act. He said, I'd rather have dirty hands than a dirty heart. Fact is, I'd rather have a false teeth than have a false tongue. Listen, sin, let me go a little further here. before we close this message. Over in the book of James, I believe I'll pick out maybe or point out our sin. James, and it'll be chapter 4 and verse 17. 4 and verse 17. It's the last verse, isn't it, in the chapter. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's what? That's sin. Now, the old timers used to get up. I never shall forget old Brother Sykes. Brother Sykes. You know, in our little country church, we just kind of had a few people that did the public praying. And old Brother Sykes was one of them. And the pastor would very piously say, "Brother Sykes, will you lead our morning prayer?" And old Brother Sykes would stand up, and he usually said, "Father, we thank thee everything's well with us what 'tis." And I'm not making fun, not at all. And then the next prayer, somewhere in there, he'd say, "Father, forgive us of our sins of omission as well as those of commission." Now, people just don't pray about them sins of omission anymore. They think they got to kill a couple of men before that's enough to pray about. They got to commit some murder or something and say, "Lord, forgive me for what I committed." Let me tell you something. If you hadn't omitted so much, you wouldn't have committed so much. And that's what James is talking about. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Oh, you'd say, "Well, I know it's not right, and I'm going to do it anyhow. I know that I ought not to do it, but I know better, but I'm going to do it anyhow." To him, it's sin. You remember what Mark Twain said way back in his day? He said, "It's not what I don't know about the Bible that troubles me. It's what I do know about the Bible that troubles me." That old farmer, you know, out down at the end of the row, that had that man back in the days when they sold encyclopedias and books and helps, and the man came and said to him, "Weeds is a growing while he's a talking." Farmer was ready to plow. And the man taking up his time, he said, "Sir, I got a book here that'll help you to do better farming." He said, "You ought to have this book. You ought to have this book." And he kept talking to him. Old farmer ready to plow off down the road and wanted to get rid of him, but didn't know how to do it and be nice at the same. He said, "Feller, I ain't doing half as well as I know now." Yeah. Folks, I ask you a question. Are you doing as well as you know tonight? Are you walking in the light that God's already given you? The Bible said if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. God's Son cleanses us from all sin. Would you go to James chapter 1? I'm closing the message with these next three verses. James 1, what are the steps and where are we going tonight? How serious is sin? Is it just something sort of like a soap bubble? It'll bust after a while. It'll all be over. No. Let me give you the steps in sin. Verse 15, chapter 1. When lust, that's step number 1. Lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Step number 2. And sin, when it graduates, or when it's finished, brings forth death. And that's it. Lust, sin, and the cemetery. And that's the last stop, except hell without Christ. And that's it. Nobody ever outsmarted the devil. Nobody ever found peace and joy in sin. The devil has never had one satisfied customer. I'm going to make a statement I don't guess I've ever made. The devil though he has many children, doesn't have a one that loves him. Because there is no love until we come to know Christ. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I give you one more time over in 2:15. First John, we'll go to 1 John 2:15. Now then, I said if you lust, you'll take, and then death will take you. Eve looked and lusted and took. Achan looked and lusted and took. David looked and lusted and took. And that's the three steps. Now then, let's look at 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now look at verse 16. Notice. Three sins, three keys on the devil's keystring. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the what? Eyes. Didn't say the lust of the ears, did it? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. These eyes. The devil has worked for hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of years to invent something where he could get just about everybody. You know what he used? He used the eyes. The lust of the eyes. Dear friend, what you look at, you become like. Oh, the sin. The time wasted. There's never been a revival in America since the flesh box came out. Never. Churches have gone down. Preachers have quit preaching. Young people have gone to the devil. Generation is wrecked and ruined because of what we're looking at. It's a make-believe world. I don't make-believe when I trust Jesus. And by their fruits you shall know them. Take all the gadgets and all the tinker toys of the devil in hell. When you get through, you'll be empty. You'll be empty. I went back to my home community many years ago, a good many years ago. I could not believe. I was visiting some of the old saints. Come in. Never did get up. I opened the door and walked in. There was an old gray-haired grandmother sitting with a deck of cards in her hand, playing solitaire and watching TV. And she didn't hardly have time. Oh, she said, Lester, is that you? I said, yes, ma'am. I thought, back yonder, when I was a little boy, if I'd have walked in, she'd have had the old book open, reading, praying. It's different now, isn't it? You see, just about everybody's been conquered by looking and lusting and taking. And if any of you folks are waiting for the standards to lower, you got a long wait on you. And if the undertaker ever comes across that street over there and gets me and takes me over on the other side of the road, and if anybody that ever takes over the enterprises lowers the standards, I've got a covenant and understanding with the Lord. He's going to give me a permit to come back and beat the daylights out of you. I'll haunt you the rest of your life. I'll disturb your sleep. I'll walk through your living room, bedroom. I'll shake your bedposts. This work was built on standards of the Word of God, and it's got to stand like that.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today was entitled, What is Sin? Now, to receive that message on a CD, simply ask RO 2948 and include $10. And we would like to have the call letters to the radio station and also today's date. To order by credit card, dial toll free at 1-800-772-7507. The address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box, 1177 Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. The July offer for the month is a music CD called A Message in Song. The uniqueness of this CD is it's all songs that were recorded at a revival Brother Roloff was holding. The Family Altar Quartet was also singing some of the songs that you hear, such as I'll Have a New Body, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Oh, What a Savior, and many, many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number 3678. And to help with postage and shipping, we ask for at least $10. Now, order by credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And be sure to check the website now. That's www.roloff.org. And you'll find some interesting facts on that particular website. So now the offer today is a message and song, the offer number 3678, and include $10. We want to reach out to you to help us during the summer months as we hesitate in dropping some radio stations, but we're just about forced to do so. We need to hear from you today. Call us at 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you a wonderful day. Looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.